Okay, we should have all of our representatives in the waiting room, so we're ready to begin when you are.
Okay, would you bring them in, please?
Okay. Okay, this was everybody in the waiting room.
Very good. All right, I'm going to call this meeting of a three-member panel of the UIL State Executive Committee to order at this time. We do have a quorum present. We have an agenda before us, and we will be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest Rules. We're going to begin with our one and only hearing for the morning. That's AA. Whitney High School, Little River Academy High School, consideration of alleged violations of UIL baseball manual pitch count rule. Mr. Beasley.
Whitney High School and Little River Academy High School competed in a multi-game series between May 12th and May 14th, 2022. After game three of the series, a possible pitch count violation by Whitney High School pitcher was reported.
All right, thank you. First thing we're going to do is we're going to identify all the folks who are involved, and we'd ask you to unmute at this particular point in time so that we can both identify you and get you sworn in. So for the Academy group, we have who?
Garrett Bell, the head baseball coach.
Okay.
Jared Hunt, athletic director.
And right. Billy Harlan, superintendent.
Name again, please.
Billy Harlan, H-A-R-L-A-N.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
And then for Whitney.
Michael Villarreal, head baseball coach. Mark Bird, athletic director. John McCullough, superintendent.
Thank you. Okay, this time I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand and Caroline will swear you in.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
Thank you. I want to introduce members of the committee that will be actually doing the voting and asking the questions. My name is Mike Motherell. I am a retired school superintendent. Dr. Duran.
Jody Duran, superintendent, Elgin ISD.
Mr. Wade.
Okay, I apologize. Darryl Wade, retired athletic administrator.
Thank you. We have staff members here as well. Let's identify ourselves, please.
Charles Brodup, Executive Director, UIL.
Jamie Harrison, UIL staff.
Darryl Beasley, UIL staff.
Susan Elza, UIL staff.
All right, thank you. Let's talk about the process that we're fixing to go through to get to a decision. We're going to start by talking with the folks from Whitney. Then we're going to move to those from Academy. And once that's all done, we may have some questions for each of you. We're going to affirm some of the information you've already provided. And we'll come to a decision this morning. I'm going to start with a couple of words for both groups. There is great clarity on the pitch count rule in the UIL manuals, baseball manual, whatever, all the information that you have. It's very clear. And I'm going to say to both sides of you today that what we have here appears to me to be, and you can argue this here in a moment, that we have some adults that did not take care of their business as far as what went on during these games. You know, that's created a lot of angst, a lot of anxiety for your athletes. And there is part of that clarity that I was talking about early comes with the discussion of needing to make sure that you keep up with that pitch count, even to a point where in the manual it says coaches or team representatives should meet between innings to verify counts. And I'm not sure that happened. I do know that we didn't communicate very well. So we'll just start with that. And then I'm going to begin with a couple of questions and comments to Whitney, ISD. And then we will, as I said, transition to Academy. You folks at Whitney, who was keeping up with your pitch count?
Game Changer app, which is run by our managers.
We're having a hard time hearing you guys.
Our Game Changer app, which is our online scoring.
And who was handling that for you?
Our statisticians.
I can't hear you.
One of our statisticians.
Your statistician. Okay. All right. That's a normal process for you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And it is our understanding that based on all the information provided, that as you went through the first game, game one, which this young man was the pitcher. This was in Belton, I believe.
Yes.
Academy was the home team. Pitch counter was a gentleman named Jesse Gonzalez. And we can talk to Academy about that, I guess. But he was the official book on Game Changer. That this particular young man, there's some discrepancy on how many pitches he threw. Anywhere from 69 to 70 to 71 pitches. And your discussion and the admittance from Mr. Gonzalez, who, as we've already mentioned, was the gentleman who was involved with the county, was that there was at least one pitch that was counted against this young man that should not have been because it was a balk. Is that agreed upon?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you also have a discussion about in the fifth inning that maybe he was charged with 10 and it should have been 9, and the next pitcher should have been credited with the other pitch. But those are the two things that you folks have discussed as far as discrepancies. Anything else you'd like to add on that?
Just to make sure that we understand and know that the person in the press box at that time was the neutral site employee by Lake Belton and not from either one of our parties, because game one was at a neutral site at Lake Belton High School.
Yes, sir. Okay. Any questions from members at this time? All right. So let's just make sure we are at a point of understanding here that your defense in this situation has to do with your counts at the time that you were keeping up with, Coach, correct?
Yes.
And you felt at the point when batter, I think it was batter 8 for Academy in the last game came up, that you were at 108 or 109 pitches, or your kid was.
The final batter, right? Correct. The final batter would have begun his at bat with 109 pitches if everything was correctly tallied.
Okay. But
the rule would allow him to have started and completed that batter through the duration of the at bat.
Correct. Does that that number takes into account the balk?
No, it does not. Or yes.
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 Yes, it would.
Under the impression that pitch should not be counted for his total for that week.
Yeah. Did it take it? Does that number take into account the 9 versus 10?
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Okay. It's my understanding that initially there were, 71 pitches? So you had X number of pitches going in. That even if it was just the balk, you were still in good shape going to the last pitcher. Is that your assumption?
Yes, sir. Your
statement?
Yes.
Okay. So without the 9 versus 9 or 10, we're talking about one less, still puts you at 109 pitches when he began with the last batter, correct?
Correct.
All right. Now, we gleaned all that information from what you had sent, and thank you for the clarity with which you presented it. It was well put together. Any other questions for Whitney at this time?
I have one. At what point did you check with the statistician or whoever was keeping it for, I guess Academy was the home team, correct?
Yes.
Did you check with them to see where the count was prior to, at any point leading up to, knowing it's getting close?
No, since he was our starter, we're going to allow him to go as long as he could, and thinking that they also correctly implemented the balk or should not have counted that as towards his pitch count. So no, I did not. I did not at any point go and talk with Coach Bale or anybody from Academy. Are you asking about game one or game three?
I'm talking about the game three.
Game three? No, sir. I didn't go to Coach Bale or Academy to see what pitch count they had and to be able to compare numbers.
But game three, who was the home team?
We were.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. We're going to move to Academy at this point. You've heard the discussion about the balk, okay? And I know you had already seen that information. Talk us through your thoughts on this issue.
My thoughts are, we got to go off the official pitch count that both coaches sign at the end of the game. If a coach does not agree with what the number that's on the official pitch count, they have the opportunity to make that noted on the official pitch count sheet as they sign it, and that did not happen.
Right. Do you argue the balk? Forget the aspect of the timing or the fact that it was signed or that's the official book, if you will. Do you argue the point of the balk?
I guess I don't fully understand the question, because there was a balk in the game. Did they count it as a pitch or not? I don't know. The official pitch count had his pitcher at 71 pitches at the end of the game.
Okay. Have you seen the admission from Mr. Gonzalez that he did count that as a pitch?
He says that he's 99% sure, and I'd hate to go off 99% sure and not 100%.
Okay. So you still contest the whole issue of the balk?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty good. What other questions do we have from members? Okay. Academy, what else would you say today?
I mean, I think as head coaches, we got to go off the official pitch count, like it says. And prior to game three, you know, we both had opportunities to look at the official pitch count rules, and that's the numbers that we were going off of.
Okay. Anything else?
I would – this is Billy talking. I know I'm kind of on the side of the screen. I'm sorry. But
it's all right.
The essence of the entire thing and what is stated in Coach Hunt's letter, I think, was stated well, is every sport can be changed by one play, and especially the game of baseball can change with one pitch.
So no doubt.
Do not envy y'all's situation, but it is a real situation, and it could have real outcome differences. So,
okay. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. All right. Any of our staff, Dr. Harrison, you have something to say?
Yes, sir. If you don't mind, I've read through all of the documents. So my question is for the baseball coach there at Academy. And Coach, I'm going to ask this question in a very specific way, because having read your documentation, the documentation from Whitney, I think that I have a pretty good understanding of what happened here. But I want to make sure. So this is a very specific question. In your opinion, having been there live coaching during the games, having reviewed your own game changer data, do you believe this young man had reached his pitch limit before the final batter came to the plate?
Yes, I do. I do not trust game changer. Both are quote statisticians, are, you know, young managers, you know, student managers keeping track of that. So I want to go off the official pitch count that's up in the press box.
Okay, so who had the official book for game one?
The official book?
Yes, sir.
Or the official pitch count?
The official book.
The official book, I guess, would, you know, outs and runs would go off of the game changer app in the dugout.
Okay, so you trust that to keep up with that, but not the pitches?
Correct.
Understood. So you think this young man had actually pitched his maximum before the final batter came to the plate?
I do, and said it's really easy for a student to miss one pitch in an at-bat, but still record the proper out or the proper runs. Whereas the official pitch counter's job up in the press box is that one purpose, and that's to follow the pitches.
Gotcha. So given what the pitch counter has sent in and all the discussion of the balk, you think he's wrong about that he actually had the right number of pitches, and that whoever was keeping game changer for you had the wrong number of pitches?
I think that if that was the scenario and it was a concern, that should have been taken care of immediately after game one.
Okay. Coach, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure you're answering my question, but I understand. I'm good, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask a quick question.
All right.
So on the Game Changer app, you're recording balls and strikes. Is that correct?
Yes.
So for it to count as a pitch, it has to be either a ball or a strike. So that was recorded as a part of the score for the game. So was that maybe why it indicated a different pitch count than what the pitch counter had?
Well, again, I think you got to go off of who's keeping the pitch count in the dugout on the Game Changer app. I mean, we have students keeping in there, giving them something to do in the dugout, and it helps us follow the game with outs and runs and who's up to bat. And, you know, you can move the ball, so it gives you a spreadsheet and stuff like that. But, you know, it's not reliable for keeping pitch count.
I mean, I know it records foul balls, all that kind of stuff. So that's not, if you're at a full count, you have some foul balls there. But I just was curious, you know, what your answer would be on that. You know, maybe that your pitch count was maybe recorded from the balls and strikes that were thrown. You know, because you're recording, there's a way to record also the foul balls, the number of pitches in that as well. So I was just curious how you would answer that. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wade?
Yeah, Coach, you mentioned that, you know, you knew before he threw that pitch where he was. Did you ever think of approaching the umpire at that point?
You know, at this point in the game, I'm focused on my hitters and trying to get them to kind of have one more good at bat, get on base, and, you know, what's the case if we do score a run here? Who's going to come in? I got a pitcher, this many pitches. I mean, I'm focused on my team.
Ms. Elza, Coach Brightup, or Mr. Harrison, question real quick. Is that something that could have been done? In other words, is the umpire in charge there, in your opinion, of the pitch count?
The umpire's not in charge of pitch count, but that certainly could have been addressed before the first pitch was thrown to that batter, for sure. And I think, you know, that's kind of how we started the meeting was, you know, we had a one pitch count on one team's books, another pitch count on the other team's books, who was the actual home team for game one. And both of them were different than what the pitch counters was. And nobody got together to reconcile that on either side. And this is another example, your question, if you knew he had reached his limit and didn't want him throwing to your kid, you know, either coach at that point could have gone and got together and figured out whether or not the kid had any pitches left. Yes. But the umpire is not in charge of counting pitches or enforcing pitch count.
Thank you. That's all I need.
Coach Bell, you indicated earlier that game changer is not reliable in this circumstance. Did I hear that?
For pitch counts, and I think the fact that both game changers had different numbers kind of justifies that, and that's the importance of going off the official pitch count.
Yeah. And do I remember that y'all's game changer had him at 68 pitches? Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah, 68. Whitney had it at 69. And the official had it at 71. And again, that included the ball. If it's not reliable, is there not a different way to do it?
Well, I think that's why we have an official pitch counter for each game. And and the official pitch counter needs to be outside the dugout, so it's not involved and there's no distractions.
Okay. All right. Dr. Braddock, you have anything to say?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, it just seems we did not do a very thorough job of during the game, after game one, and before game three, and then during game three, discussing with the opposing coach what the pitch count was. So we're coming back now on Monday trying to rectify this. This is the first case I recall coming before the SEC over pitch count in the 5 years since we implemented this. So it's a little disturbing that we have adults in both dugouts. You're relying on students to keep the information, but then you're saying, well, they're not reliable. But then we have both books, home and visitors, who are in error, but neither coach talked to the other. I'm more disturbed about that than I am how many pitches the pitcher pitched. Obviously, it's important that we get it right, but I'm not clear on what the pitch count was.
Yeah. Thank you. All right.
I think that's kind of concerning me too, is, you know, a coach's code of conduct seemed like there should have been some discussion there.
Got in this case, like, you know, when I don't really understand, I guess, when it's right to say something, when it's not right to say something, because
you just say what you want. Coach, hang on just a second. I was just fixing to say, have you got any last thing to say? So now's your time.
Okay. It's hard to say, but in the previous inning, in the sixth inning, when Whitney came back and scored five runs after we scored four runs, you know, there was, like, Coach Villarreal tried to make an illegal substitution and re-enter number 16 into the game in a different spot in the lineup, and I said something immediately. And so, you know, I feel like that's just part of my character. I could have not said something and waited one pitch and recorded an out, and that runner ended up being the tying run that crossed the plate. And so at this point, like, I would have said something immediately if I knew exactly at the time what it was.
Okay. Thank you for that. Anything else from Academy? Anybody? Superintendent, AD, Coach?
No, sir. Just thank y'all for hearing us. Thank y'all for taking the facts. Thank y'all for looking it over and having a discussion about it, of how we can make it better.
All right. Well, thank you. What about Whitney? Anything to be said?
Just that, of course, moving forward with any implementation of things that happen in a ball game, I will move forward and be better about making sure that it is there as a clarification on a balk or on a rooming or something that would not affect the total pitch count for my pitchers for the totality of series or tournaments and things like that. Because that is, in their case, like they said, it is a valuable piece of information to know. Because we're talking about one pitch is really what we're talking about. And if it's incorrectly scored upon and it becomes official and what we think, then that goes a long way. And, well, that's why we're here today.
Trey D., Superintendent?
I would just say, you know, I think, again, we kind of put this on the mercy of two kids in the dugout. And I think it's a teaching point right now for all of us that we need to make sure we've got adults in charge of that pitch count. And both of us can do a better job. You know, if we don't trust Game Changer, then we don't need to use it, in my opinion. If we're going to put the decision into adults, then let's just keep it with adults.
Okay.
Yes, well, thank you all for taking the time to do this. And, again, we just want to do whatever we can, do what's in the best interest of kids. And it's a learning moment for Coach Villarreal.
All right. Well, I've heard all I need. Dr. Duran, Mr. Wade, y'all heard what you need to hear? Okay. And I'm gonna say it like this. We've already talked about dropping the ball, and it happened. We talked about putting youngsters in a bad situation. Those guys that were in the dugout, keeping those counts on Game Changer. That's a tough job. I do the little Game Changer stuff myself with grandkids. But I also recognize that as we talk through this, one of the things that became a prominent part of the discussion was that it should be adults taking care of business. We have an official book, and listen, we're very, very consistent in our discussion and our decisions. You got a lot of experience here on this committee. We're very experienced with that, making sure that we're abiding by rules. And as you said, Coach, you know, it's the official book, the official count is where you go. But also recognize that we don't hang our hat on the official book. If there's been a discussion from the adult keeping it that, hey, there, whether it's 99% or 100% or 70%, if that individual comes back and says, hey, I counted that balk as a pitch, for me, that does it. Okay. We're not going to do this on a technicality of, well, here's what the book said from the, we've got to stay with that. If there are some rectifying that can take place and it's legitimate, and we've got the information from Mr. Gonzalez that it is, then you couple that with the fact that your own books at Academy had 68 pitches to start instead of the 71, and from Whitney's had 69. We're not going to penalize, in my vote's not going to be to penalize the crew from Whitney for that. And so for me, it's pretty plain. Unfortunate, without a doubt. Unfortunate. But I think we've got enough information to make a vote on it. So at this time, our vote will be simple. Was it a violation or was it not a violation? And all in favor that it was a violation, please you raise your right hand. All in favor that it was not, please same sign. That's unanimous. Gentlemen, hope we've learned. Good luck to all of you. Finish your school year out strong, and thank you for being here today. With that having been said, we're going to remove the teams from the schools from the feed. We're going to move forward then. Do we have any new business?
Thank you.
No, Mr. Chair, no new business at this time. Daryl has already corrected me that this was not supposed to be a meeting today. I said it was the last meeting last time. We have another one on the 23rd, so I won't say anything. So yes, thank you for your time on short notice. Caroline, thanks for pulling this together. Daryl, I know Dr. Harrison and Dr. Ells have spent a lot of time yesterday furring out what occurred. It's distressing that we have to come back after a game has been completed. I think we probably ought to look at some language, Dr. Harrison, Dr. Elza, in regards to this pitch count business, because this won't be the last time this occurs. We're fortunate that we haven't had it before now, but there needs to be something there that notifies the coach that this is the last batter, the next pitch, you can pitch and finish this batter, or not. I don't know how they did that. How did he know? How did anybody know? I would think that someone would notify down to the dugout that, hey, look, he's at his limit. Don't let him pitch that next pitch.
Well, and Dr. Bradup, I think that's part of the confusion on this case is it is quite possible that nobody there thought he was at his limit. They didn't calculate that until after the game. So we've talked a lot with AJ, who runs baseball for us. I really want to say thank you to Caroline. Dr. Ells and I are used to having to work on Saturdays and Sundays because things just happen in our state. But Caroline had to pull together a meeting very quickly and did so with a lot of grace and very efficiently. So, Caroline, thank you for doing that.
Well, hey, listen, as always, appreciate staff. And my goodness, these things happen. Members, thank you. Dr. Dron, my guess is this may be your last one. Mm-hmm. You serve so well.
Thank you so much.
I certainly appreciate you for that. And God bless you as you move forward and into your new role. And Daryl, always good to have you on.
Thank you, Mr. Duran. Dr. Duran, are you moving? I didn't know that you were leaving, Elgin. What's going on? I guess I've been in a tunnel somewhere.
I'm retiring. And yeah. I'm going to be working with the Texas Association of Midsize Schools.
Congratulations.
Well, we know that Dr. Duran is too young to retire. She'll be doing something meaningful in her next career. But thank you so much for your service and representing the schools of our state and particularly those 5A schools. But we appreciate you so much and thank you for your presence each time.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity.
We'll see y'all all down the road. This meeting is adjourned.
Thanks to everybody.
Thank you. Great job, everyone.